The sutras speak of the Buddha encountering sickness, old age, and death as incentives, encouragement, what led him to begin practice. It's interesting to note that what is not brought up is the ongoing violence and wars that existed in the times of Shakyamuni Buddha, especially between the various small states and principalities that his father, his relatives were involved in. Once we start seeing how the Buddha lives after his awakening, of course he talks about greed, anger, and ignorance, the three poisons, which are in one way what creates and perpetuates suffering, that along with attachment. So we do see that, and we also see that as we have various reports of the Buddha's life, in the sutras, we see him having dialogues with, teaching with, connections with the various royalty, so to speak, minor royalty of the various kingdoms and states, some of whom were his relatives. And the conflicts between them, some of them even involving patricide, fratricide, even eventually involving the Buddha's own family and, what should I say, compatriots in the Shakya clan and the state that he grew up in. And his encouragement and cautioning about the results of the wars, minor skirmishes, major wars, slaughters, massacres that occurred, that the sutras discuss, depict, and that some of his disciples, lay disciples, kings, queens, courtesans, are involved with. Of course, we know a number of the early, we call them monasteries or places where the monks were able to gather both in the rainy season and at other times, were donated to the Buddha by the wealthy, the kings, the queens, the courtesans, who were his, as I said, some of his senior disciples. And that didn't always protect them from the ongoing violence that seems to have occurred in that period. And resulted in some of them being killed, massacred even, in ways much more brutal even, or maybe not, yeah, I would say much more brutal than even what we see in our days, despite the fact that the arms involved, the weapons involved, the number of troops involved was of a much less sophisticated nature. I bring this up in part because we have had ongoing war in Ukraine, ongoing conflicts throughout Asia, wars in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and now more wars in the Middle East, despite the various wars between parts of Turkey and parts of Syria, now Israel, Gaza, Armenia and Azerbaijan, and so on and so forth. All of these are prime examples of what it is we humans can do to each other, and what, in a way, is an extension of this simple greed, anger, and confusions that we as individuals on the most intimate levels get to notice as we practice. Not just notice, but see the consequences of in suffering, in harming for ourselves and those close to us. And of course, given the nature of media these days, you can see it from all over the world. In all sorts of brutality. In all sorts of ways that lead to suffering, some of which we might experience ourselves. Both suffering from the immediate consequences and suffering from the, what should I say, extended consequence. At some point I might talk about the massacre of the Shakyas, Buddha's family. There are 8 almost complete, somewhat different versions of this in the Chinese sutras and 2 complete Pali sutra text versions, as well as many, many references in the sutras to the events. But that I want to leave that for another time, because that would be an extended talk about that, which, while useful, is something that I think we should first reflect on in terms of how do we, in our own small life, do things where we hold on to resentment, hold on to thoughts about I was humiliated or abused by, hold on to anger and comparisons, and use that to either create suffering, perpetuate suffering for ourselves, or generate harming to others. It's important to start and continue to be aware of when those anger, greed, resentment, the various forms of this arise, sometimes within family, sometimes within people who are intimate with each other, and sometimes with people at a distance, sometimes with people right now occurring, and sometimes that those are stories that we hold on from the long past, stories that we sometimes rehearse to ourselves and justify to ourselves what's happening, what's the cause, what does it mean. This is really where our practice, in a sense, hits the road. If we make the effort to notice how and where these things come up in our life, might be something as simple as calling up someone and saying, oh, I'd like to come over and stay at your house, and expecting them to say, oh, sure, you can stay, I have time, I have space then, or resenting, oh, they don't want me there now. How come? They are not being, and you fill in, good family members, good friends. Why do they, are they busy with something else? Something as simple as that. Or when we discover or feel they've neglected me, they've insulted me, they invited someone else and didn't invite me, they don't call me up and praise me. Greed, anger, confusions. Those are the fundamental practice generalities that we have to notice specifically when it arises in our life, when we're believing the thoughts, or believing the anger, or believing the hurt. Those are not something to censor, but something to use as a support, as a reminder how, what is practice with this right now? How do I bow with this? Thanks for everything. How do I embrace this as my life and respond in a skillful, nurturing way, both in terms of so-called my life and in terms of the life of the all the people that I meet, those that are involved in this? It's these poisons that the Buddha encourages us to practice with. Practice because these poisons are natural or seem natural, seem appropriate to us, that we must, I don't say should, I say must, be attentive to when they arise in our life, because if we're not, then the waves of that indulgence in them is what causes harm and suffering, causes small wars among friends and families, and causes larger wars among nations and peoples. So, in a way, this is a continuation of what I've been speaking about for the past few weeks. With this is what, in a way, thanks for everything, I have no complaints. What Mushin spoke about, Namudai Bosa, these are all antidotes to the glimmers of this, to the little bits of this when they arise, so that we can be sensitive and attentive so it doesn't fester and lead to us suffering, others suffering, us doing harm, us believing we are harmed, all of which is exactly what the Buddha's teaching is about, to enable us to live who and what we truly are, live as the life of the Buddha that we are, the life of, if I say, the joyousness of the universe, if I use such fancy, elaborate words, to be exactly this life manifesting right here, to be liberated from harming and suffering, liberated from the therefores, therebys, thereins that we add on to our hearing, seeing, cognizing, to add on to our life and make suffering out of this wonderful, joyous Buddha life that we all share as this universe. Thank you.